having us on the Real Assistant Networks. And my brother, Landon Milborn, with me today. It's been a while, man. How you been?
I'm good, man. Can't complain. How are you?
I'm good, man. I think the last time I saw you, man, we was in Greece.
Yep.
I think it was the last time. That was 2013,
14.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's been a minute.
Yeah, man. Like I said, man, I definitely appreciate you joining a lot of fans and a lot of Maryland fans. You know, they like to get to know what guys are up to now and pretty much the experience at Maryland and things like that, man. So, you know, what pretty much made you choose Maryland out of all the schools, your options that you had?
Well, that's one thing a lot of people don't know. I'm actually originally from Maryland. So I was born and kind of raised on the Eastern Shore. I ended up moving to Georgia when I was like 13, 14 years old. So it was always kind of like a dream of mine to come back home and play, you know, in front of my family, hometown thing, and at least be close. Cause I was playing AAU when I was growing up. We traveled a lot and most of my family wasn't able to see me play at all, you know, coming up. So when I actually came back home to Maryland, that was like the first time people had actually seen me play when I was good. You know what I'm saying? So, yeah, that was pretty cool. That was something that I definitely wanted to do for the fam, really.
Yeah. Man, that's what's up, man. I definitely know what you mean, you know, being able to play in front of people that, you know, like you said, family. That was big for me as well, man, having a lot of friends and family be able to come to the games. And like you said, man, get that experience and get to play on that big stage that we're playing on, you know?
Yeah, for sure. For sure.
So, real quick, man, you know, with the whole COVID-19 and everything, man, and, you know, with no fans, you know, I know at one point, man, they had a chance to go far and win the championship. I don't know how much you followed the Terps the last couple of years, man. They had a chance to really go far. And then last year, they played with no fans. Yeah. Man, you experienced that life in regards to playing for all the fans, man, and having that experience. Like what would you think, you know, what would you have thought if you had to go through that whole process, man? You know, I know how it was, you know, at one point when we were playing the ACC, you know, our fans are some of the best fans. And then, you know, the next year you come out, you don't even know if you're going to have a season, first of all.
Yeah.
Then you're talking about playing in front of no fans.
Yeah, no, that's tough right there, because my whole college experience, we had all the fans, you know what I'm saying? So it was always amazing for us. Even on the road, we always had a huge group of fans and supporters come in the toughest environments, they would show up. So I wouldn't be able to imagine what it would be like to not have any fan, or at least not even knowing if we're going to have a season or not. That's tough to deal with. You know, I know a lot of people who was in college. I know a lot of people who was in the pros during this time, and there was a lot of uncertainty. But one thing for sure about Maryland is when you come out on the court, you know you're going to have support. And to not have that and still be able to play and compete, you know, it's definitely tough. It's definitely tough on the players. It's not the best environment to play when it's just dead silence in the gym, or at least not knowing if you're going to have that support there, for sure.
Right. And I talked to a couple of guys, man. I just wanted to get their experience during that time. I mean, obviously, they're going to have fans this year, you know, which is good, hopefully. Yeah. But I know they weren't able to leave their rooms. Yeah. They had to stay inside, man. Then you're talking about as a college student, you know, the whole basic going to college is that whole experience of being social. They weren't really able to do that much, man. So they had to. And, you know, us, man, you know, being a student athlete, you know, dealing with school and having to deal with the sport mentally, man, how much it could take a toll on us as mental. And a lot of people probably don't even understand that, how mental it is for us.
Right.
So not to even have an outlet to even hang out a little bit. You know, you're stuck in your dorm, you go right to practice, you go right to school, and then back in your dorm. So, man, I just, you know, for myself, you know, during my times there, man, it'd have been tough because things is not like how they are now when, you know, they got people to talk to and stuff like that. It was more, you know, you kind of had to fend for yourself was in a sense back then when I was born.
Yeah, no, that's definitely sure. Like the only time I can really think where it was kind of like that was during the wintertime holidays when everybody's kind of gone and we still on campus. But like having that type of environment for almost like a whole year or a season, I don't know if it would be cool, you know. And I lived on campus. A lot of guys, you know, they lived off campus, whatever they have. I was on campus. I was going to the diner. I was going to, you know, walking around and all that. So I'm not the most sociable person at times, but I still like to see people. I still like to be in an environment where I could communicate if I wanted to, you know what I'm saying? Not even having that option is kind of crazy.
Right. Nah, definitely, man. And I know, you know, even this year, like, hopefully they'll have fans back. You know, I know we got a couple of months to the season starts, so things can change again. But just to be able to get back out there, man, had the fans back. You know, I don't know how much you follow them now. They got a couple of new transfers. They got a guy from Georgetown to transfer to Maryland now, yeah. Which is rare. That don't happen.
Yeah, that don't happen.
Time's changing, man. So, people, man, like, you know, what's going on with that, but we got that. So, I mean, you know, we're supposed to be pretty good this year, man. So what are your thoughts on this year, this team this coming up season?
Yeah, no, it's definitely cool for me because I haven't been able to keep up with the Terps as much as I wanted to because I've been overseas. And, you know, I just retired. This will be my second year home. So, and this will be actually my first year home because I moved back to Maryland. So okay. It's like I'm actually going to have an opportunity to really, like, pay attention and be a part of, you know, the season this year as far as just watching and supporting. Like, I haven't been able to do that, you know, being overseas, man, it's hard to keep up. Time difference, you missing the games, not even being able to watch or at least having to just see it online and all that. Like, it's tough keeping up when you're overseas. But now, for me, I'm back home, so I'm definitely going to tap in and be in attendance for sure this year.
Absolutely. So, man, let's jump back into your experience at Maryland, man. When you first stepped on campus, you know, and GW, you had GW for a couple of years, right?
Did you whole time.
Oh, man, yeah. So what was your experience like, man? You know, open gym and then your first experience, you know, in practice, you know, dealing with, you know, Coach GW, man.
I mean, look, man, I'm going to be honest with you. When I came, I went on a couple visits and I saw a couple practices and it wasn't the full representation of what practice was. I'm not going to say that was putting on or nothing. I'm just saying it wasn't like how it really was in person, like being on the team. So when I first came and we had our first real practices going up and down, it was cool until G-Dub got mad. You know what I'm saying? So when I got to see the other side of him, it was one of them things where it was like, oh, this is different. But then it was like, yo, I could deal with this because it wasn't one of those things where he was going over the line as far as his anger or whatever the case may be. It was constructive, but right. It was just delivered a different way than what a lot of people might be used to. Right. For me, like, I had AAU coaches, some high school coaches who were aggressive. So I was kind of used to it already. But just being there and being able to deal with it and then seeing some of the other players, their reaction, I'm like, I'm used to this already. I don't know if you could deal with this, you know what I'm saying? So it was cool. And then another thing that I really noticed that he mentioned a lot in the beginning, especially to the freshmen, it was more so like, you know, if I'm coming at you, then that should tell you something. When I stop coming at you, then you know you're probably not really going to be getting no time or whatever the case may be. So I'm like, all right, well, I kind of want you to keep yelling at me because now I know you want me to get better. And that's how I always took it. So I took that as a learning, really, just getting better and him caring that I get better and caring that we all get better. And those practices made me a better player for sure.
I've definitely been on both sides of those, man. I've been on both sides of those. So I know exactly what you're talking about. And because, you know, my experience coming there, you know, came with a lot of hype, man, and being from the area. And, you know, I didn't, you know, my coach in high school was super quiet. I mean, he'll cut you with his sarcasm. Like, he's super sarcastic, but he never yelled Whereas, you know, G-Dub, he's more intense. Mm-hmm. So, but I wasn't solving the where I came from, and I played for coaches that was, you know, they got a little hype too sometimes. So I wasn't really, but I took it the wrong way. I always like, man, you getting at me. So I'm kind of, we was butting heads a lot. And, you know, he's saying stuff to me and I'm saying stuff back and I get kicked out of practice. So it was a lot of, it was a lot of that, man. But me being young, not knowing, thinking I know everything. When, like you said, you know, a lot, if you don't understand what kind of guy he is or what kind of coach he is, you can take it the wrong way in the sense of he's basically trying to make you better. You know, he always compared me to other players or their experience and said, look, man, you can, look, you know, he's in the league. If you just listen to what I'm telling you, then, you know, but like you said, a lot of guys might go in with the attitude, like, man, I know what I'm doing. Let me do things my way. And, you know, he's like, man, look, either you're going to do things my way or, you know, exactly. So it was, you know, it was a lot of that, man. And, but then there came a point when, you know, when we butted heads so many times where, you know, it's been times where I'm left on the sideline in practice and he forgot I was even there, according to what he's telling me. You know what I mean? He hit me with the, I said, coach, you gonna put me in practice? Like, man, my bad, I forgot you was even there. Hit me with one of those. But like you said, man, it goes to a lot of players, man, when the coach is getting on you, they basically want what's best for you. But when they stop getting on you, that's when, man, especially in college, man, you know, they recruit other guys all the time. Right. So what was some of your best moments? What was some of your best moments in College Park, man? You know, whether it's, you know, the big one of your best games, man, or the biggest games, or because y'all was still, you was in the ACC for a little bit. So what was those experiences like for you, man? And you know, obviously you got the Duke games, you got the big North Carolina games, you got all those. So what was that experience like for you?
Biggest moments, man. I had so many, to be honest, but I would say my freshman year, I wasn't getting no time, but we beat UNC when they was ranked number one at home. And that was the first time I was in an environment where it was completely sold out. The crowd was crazy. ESPN game, like it was just the top of the top. At that time, you know, we had a couple of players, you know, we had DJ on the team, he went to the league. James was on the team, he got drafted. Like everybody was kind of at the peak of where we were supposed to be as far as the classes and all that. And we beat UNC at home that night. And it was a crazy day and a half, you know what I'm saying? Because leading up to it, the game, and then after the game, that was like the biggest thing ever for a freshman. I didn't play, but it was a crazy, crazy. I had a ball that time. I didn't step on the floor one time, but I had a ball that game. And then I would say we beat UNC at home when they was ranked number one. I think probably my junior year, senior year, going to the winning the ACC championship as far as the conference. That was crazy. One of my best games playing Florida State at home, having a highlight, ESPN highlight, you know, I had a couple of ESPN highlights, like all those things kind of, you know, are highlights in my head. That was great moments that I enjoyed and celebrated. But I would say those team wins, man, you can't beat, like out of all the ESPN dunks and you know, the games where I had scored a lot of points and all that, I would say, those team wins has got to be the best because the environment around and inside and on the court, in the gym, outside the gym, and, you know, the whole campus will be buzzing for a while. Like, those are the best experiences. So that's what I would say.
So did you get a crazy game winner or something like that?
I didn't hit a game winner. I just had a couple of dunks and some good games, man. To be honest with you, I did have a few teammates who hit some crazy game winners. Cliff Tucker, rest in peace. He hit a game winner, a game winning three, and I saw that, ran around the court. That joint was crazy. That whole game was nuts. I'm so glad he had that moment, and. You know, we had a couple. You know, Gray was probably hit about 10 or 12 game winners.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? So we had a couple of huge moments, man. We had some great teams for sure.
What was it like? I know Grievous, man, and you know, I've been knowing Grievous since he was in high school. And yeah. I know, and we played pickup in the summertime together when he was coming in about to go into Maryland, man. What was it like mm-hmm. playing with him and just the type of player he is, and you know how he go, you know, his mentality. Yeah, what was that experience like for you?
Yeah. It was cool because it was like because I'm super quiet. Like I don't do a lot on the court as far as going at other players, like talking and all that. I'm just straight up like, you know what I mean, get to the business, go hard, like no nonsense, nothing. So he added a lot of bounce. And I would say most of the team was probably like that, but he was the one where it was like, you need somebody on the team that's gonna give a little bit of rah-rah, like. You need somebody on the team that's going to get the crowd involved and do a little bit extra because, I mean, it can be boring if you got a bunch of guys who just, you know what I mean, just straight business, like nothing, right. You know what I mean? So he brought a little bit more, well, he brought a lot more excitement to the team in general and the crowd, you know what I'm saying? The crowd, right. they feed off of that energy, they feed off of that. So he was good. He was right on time for us. I mean, I would say that if I was – the main guy on the team at that period of time, it would have been a good season, but it'd been boring as hell. You know what I'm saying? It's just been boring. You know what I'm saying? So he definitely brought that out of us, and he brought that to the team, and the crowd feeded off of it. The team feeded off of it.
Right.
I think even coach might have fed off of it a little bit too. You know what I'm saying? So it was great. It was great to have him there, man. He's a good player outside of that. You know, he's a very good player outside of his personality. So it was a good experience being on the team with him.
Yeah, absolutely, man. In regards to, because G Dub, I was just talking to Byron Mouton earlier, and he was talking about how basically, you know, G Dub was like, man, he was like, yo, we need some people to get hype. We need some energy on our team. Cause you know how G Dub, man, if you score a bucket and you ain't like screaming at your head, he gonna say something about it. You know what I mean? He gonna say something about it. I remember one time I hit like a three to tie the game. I did something. And I came back, you know, I was real chill. And I come back to the bench and he's like, get hype, motherfucker. Like, get hype.
Yeah,
like,
yeah,
like,
yeah. Like, you're not having fun. Like, you don't want
He was like, get hype. Like, what's like? And he was good. You know, he's super intense and he's hype, you know.
Yeah.
But, you know, when I was in high school, I used to do so much talk. I used to love Kevin Garnett. So I used to do some, I used to want to be just like him. So I talked too much. And my coach in high school, man, basically just told me, shut up, man, and just play. And ever since then, I kind of just kept it quiet. But, you know, G-Dub, man, he wants you to be hype and get energized and talk that track. Like, like how Grievous do. Exactly how Grievous do. I know he was loving it, you know?
Right, absolutely. Absolutely. Nah, it was a good experience. I was just never that type of dude. I'm more so about action, you know what I mean? And now I think they understood that about me. So they never really pushed me to do that. But I will dunk on you and yell, though. Like, you know what I'm saying? If I dunk on you, I'm definitely going to yell. I'm definitely going to flex. I'm probably not going to do too much if I hit a three. You know what I mean? I'm probably not going to do too much on anything else. But yeah, that's just me, though. So, and we had quite a few guys on the team who's kind of like that. But he was the one that kind of kept – he did so much of that. He made it good for everybody else because it's like, well, I don't have to go. He's gonna yell if I hit a three. I'm straight, like, you know what I'm saying? So it was cool.
Right. Yeah. Nah, I trust me, I definitely know how he is, man. And you know, like you said, man, just like a very good player, man. And you know, he gonna bring that energy, you know, game in, game out. Now you finished Maryland, now it's time to go to the professional side. Now it's time to go. You know, whether you're staying here playing in the league or you're going overseas, what was that whole process like, you know, leaving Maryland, you know, finishing out your career, you know, and then moving on to your professional career? What was that experience like and what was that whole process like?
Yeah, it was cool. It was one of those things where I feel like I spoke to the right people. I feel like I had everything kind of geared towards doing what I needed to do. It was kind of my own personal feelings kind of holding me back, I guess you could say, because, you know, as players, you know, especially people who take the game serious enough to go on a professional level, you know, a lot of people in college, they don't they don't do the extras. They don't go as far as a lot of us go when it comes to really, you know, tapping in and getting to our craft like that. I was one of the guys who was dedicated, like showing up when I didn't have to, doing the work, you know what I mean, getting extra training and all that other stuff. I was that guy. So when I started to speak to different agents and get ready for the drafting and all that other stuff, everybody was pretty much telling me the same thing. And I did not want to hear what they was telling me. Everybody was like, look, you're going to be a wing defender. You know what I'm saying? Like, and I'm like, I don't want to be a wing. You know what I'm saying? So it was one of those things where I, in my mind, I had already told myself what I wanted to be on a professional level, but everybody else was telling me something different. And I was just going against it. So all the training that I did after college was straight up like scoring, ball handling, this and that. I never worked on defense like that. But that's what scouts saw in me when I was at Maryland. Just G-Dub, like, you, if you don't play D, you're not playing, you know? And right, that was right. One of the things I took pride in, because I was like, look, if somebody wants to depend on me, they're going to at least depend on me to strap up and not let nobody score, get right. The rebound, do what I got to do, get some blocks, whatever. I took that as part of my job. I didn't right. Take that as that's who I am. It just right. Happened to be what it was, and that's what this, a lot of scouts saw in me. And so I got my opportunity. I went and I got, I had workouts for about 10 different teams. That was a huge experience, a great experience for me, traveling and going to work out with these teams and seeing the guys that were already on the team there working out and all that, and competing with guys in my class and doing really, really good during that process. I ended up going to the Hawks for a summer league, and it was the same thing. They was like, yo, we just want you to, we already got people on the team that we want to score. We already got people on the team that we want to do that. That's not you. You going to play D. I'm like, you know, and so it was one of those things that was kind of, I guess, disheartening for me, because I felt like I could give more. But, you know, it wasn't, you know, the professional level was like, what are you best at? That's what we're going to utilize you for. We don't want you to do, you know, we have professionals to do other things. This is what we need you for. And at that time, you know, still being immature, still kind of, you know, being a little bit stubborn about what I wanted to do, I kind of took myself out of the game, to be honest with you. And because of that, I ended up going overseas. And when I went overseas, I got the opportunity to be who I wanted to be, but it wasn't at the level that I thought I should be at. But I still had a good career, still had a great experience traveling, going to all these different countries and playing at a high level and being able to play against guys who were in the league, who ended up going to the league afterwards, who were just coming over there from the league. Like, so it was still good. It was still competitive. It was still a great experience. So, you know, I definitely had that for sure.
What was the best country you played in? Yeah, what was the best country? What was your best experience overseas?
Best experience, I would say living wise, I would say Greece. It would be a mixture between Greece and Puerto Rico. And then playing wise, I would say a mixture between Puerto Rico and Israel. Those were the two places. Israel, Puerto Rico, and the Dominican Republic were the three places where I could really just do whatever I wanted to do on the court.
Right, right.
My first year in France, my first and second year in France was kind of the same, but it was a little bit restrictive on me because of how young I was. I had a lot of vets on my team. I had the green light. But I had vets on my team where it was like, all right, now, you know what I mean? Let's get a little too crazy, you know what I mean? 15, 20 shots a game, let's chill, you know? So it was one of those type of things. But then when I went to Israel, when I went to Puerto Rico, they like, yo, you're not shooting enough. Like, we need you to. And I'm like, okay, all right, this is what I like, you know what I'm saying? So I really had a balance my whole career. I had a lot of balance. I had countries where I went to where I had a straight up green light, no questions asked. And then I had countries like Italy and Greece where it was like, this is a structure. This is more like college. We need you to play defense. We need you to hit open threes. We need you to defend. We need you to do, you know what I mean? Rebound, this and that. So it was role playing in some countries, and some countries, you know, I was the top dog. So I got balance, and I can't complain about it.
Yeah. Absolutely. I definitely know what you mean, man. Like you said, some like a France, you probably got about a few other Americans on the team with you. Then you got the guys in France, they already good as they are. Yeah, so you gotta spread those points around, you know. And like you said, other places like the South American countries, now you got to put the numbers up. South America, Middle East, they Asia, they what you see. If you ain't putting up numbers, they're going to find somebody else who can.
Yep.
I remember we was all in Greece, man, with me, you, Giz, Stogue, Mike Krepp. Like, we was all out there, man. That was like my first year coming back to Greece. But that was a cool experience. I tell people that out there all the time, man, playing with, you know, not having a chance to play with you guys in college, but being able to play against you guys. You know, me and T. Stowe played with each other on the same team, and then, you know, playing against you, Guest, you know, that was a pretty cool experience, man, having a lot of all the Merlin guys with us, playing at the University of Merlin or living from Merlin, you know, playing in the same country, being able to hang out and chill and stuff.
That was a crazy experience.
Man, it was cool, man. I tell people all the time, man, that people think that the overseas experience is like luxurious. I mean, yeah, you live a good life, but you gotta work, man, and it's tough because they always looking for somebody better or a different player to come in because they get some different calls from agents, and they have so many options, you know. And there ain't no guarantee, ain't no real guaranteed contract, so they cut you for whatever reason.
Facts. Yeah, that was one of the things that I had. It was like a slap in the face. Like of reality when I went over there, you know, because my pops played overseas for about 10, 15 years. Oh. And I actually visited him when I was in high school. I went over there when he was in Finland. So I already seen the lifestyle, but I still, you know, in my mind, I'm like, man, I'm better than him. When I go over there, I'm going to be living like this, da, 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 da. Whatever, man. So I went over there and I was like, okay, so with no more, like the flights are different now, you know what I'm saying? The locker room is different. The gym is different. You know what I'm saying? Everything is different. And it was humbling. And it really helped me get back to the basics, to be honest with you, to take all that stuff out of the equation. It would be nice to have those luxuries, but at the same time, it was one of those things where it was like, okay, I'm humble now. And I know that I'm not where I feel like I deserve to be. I feel like I deserve better than this. Let me work and try to get it. You know what I'm saying? So, and then it's one of those things where the culture is just different. Like you get to understand that the luxuries that we have in America are real luxuries. You don't think that having a dryer is a luxury. You know what I'm saying? That's like a requirement in our homes in America. Overseas is like, what is a dryer? Like, dryer, what do you mean? Like, what do you need? Just hang your clothes up. What's the big deal? Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, all that type of stuff hit me. And I was just like, you know what? It's just a cultural adjustment. I get used to it. And I did, you know, and I felt found comfort in it. And, you know, it ended up working out. So.
Absolutely. Yeah. And that's, like I said, man, I tell people all the time, you know, me coming out of college, I never thought about anything overseas. If you told me I was going overseas or overseas thing, I was like, that's how I felt assaulted. Like, seriously? Right. Like, but not knowing that the experience that I had from playing overseas and the culture and meeting different people and lifestyle, I mean, a lot of people got to pay for that stuff where we got to go over there and basically got paid to do it, you know?
Yeah.
So that was a pretty cool experience. I tell people all the time, even the young players, man, I say, look here, man. They like you and you good enough, they gonna come find you. You know what I mean?
Right.
So go ahead and take that money and get it while you can because you know things are probably different now, especially economy wise overseas. I don't even know how it is now with COVID and everything. So things are probably a lot different.
I couldn't imagine what it is right now. I know how it was when I was playing. I couldn't imagine what it is right now. It's tough, man, and it's one of those things where it's humbling on all levels, man, because even with basketball, it's one of those things where you kind of see how it's structured. You hope and you wish that one day things could kind of be a little bit similar as it is overseas in America, because we have so much talent in America. I feel like it's ridiculous for the talent to have to leave the country to go somewhere to make six figures or whatever, you know what I'm saying, to go overseas. Right. I'm like, there's plenty of money over here for people to do that over here. But the way that they structure their leagues over there, I feel like we need to kind of mimic that at some point, because they have guys over there who come up as pros and as teenagers. We're talking about guys who are in college age getting paid and playing against high level pros on the team. And they're doing it at a young age. And by the time they get older, now you see them on the Olympics and they playing. I'm like, they're breeding their players different. You know what I'm saying? It, overseas is just different in general. Obviously, they don't have the college situation that we have. Right. They just go straight to the pros, really. And, you know, a lot of those guys deserve that shot. A lot of those guys, you know, definitely earn it. But and then on the other side of it, the money, just seeing the different countries. We was in Greece. When I first got to Greece, I didn't know that the country economy was shaky. I didn't realize that. Mm-hmm. And even just living there, you still kind of don't realize it because you're getting paid different than everybody else. So it was one of those things that I had to slowly understand. I'm asking my GM, like, why is, yo, I need a better car than this. You know what I'm saying? And they're like, nah, you got to chill. You got to understand, like, where you living right now. We can't just give you a Bentley, bro. You got you living around people who don't nobody got a job right now. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's certain things where I'm like, okay, like, I got to humble myself because of my surroundings. And understand why people are so excited about coming to the game and supporting us, why people are focused on us right now. It's not just because they love basketball. It's because the economy is so messed up. Basketball is one of the only things that's going to really, like, get that excitement in people and give them an outlet. You know what I'm saying? It's one of those things where you kind of realize that you serve a bigger purpose than just putting a ball in the hole. And I think that was really cool about playing overseas.
Yeah, absolutely. Did you have a chance to play against Giannis when you played in Greece?
Yeah, man, that was crazy because my second year? Yeah, my second year there, I made the All-Star team. And he was actually in the third division, I think, during that time, mm-hmm. Youngin. And they was talking about we had to drive to the All-Star game. So I was in the car with a couple of my Greek teammates, and I'm just listening to them talk about him. And it was just talking about him the whole time. And I'm like, why? Like, I don't get it. Because we're going to the All-Star game, and it's only guys in the top division in the All-Star game on both sides. We got the Americans versus the Greeks or whatever. It was cool. And they was talking, and I'm like, what, is he playing? And they're like, yeah, they're going to let him play. I'm like, how are they going to let him play if he's in the third division? That's crazy. Right. And they're like, yo, they're going to let him play. They're going to let him and his brother play. I'm like, all right. So I'm like, how old is the dude? Like, he was like 16 at the time or something like that. And I'm asking questions now. I'm like, what is his stats? Is he getting like 50 a game? I don't get it. Is he averaging like 8 points, like seven assists, like 5 rebounds? I'm like, in the third division? Why is he in the All-Star game? Like, I was in my head, like, I'm just like, I don't understand. I don't see it. So he showed up, him and his brother came, and they were young, and they was trying to prove themselves so much that they were, like, it's an All-Star game. Nobody's really playing hard. We really just trying to catch lives and just, you know what I mean? They were going hard. They were, him and his brother were trying to prove a point, like, we belong here. Like, we're going to the pros. Like, so they were going hard, diving on the floor for balls, trying to play defense on everybody. And even then, I still didn't see, like, I don't get it. They talking about he going first round. I still don't get it.
Right.
Fast forward to today, bro. I'm like, man, whatever they saw in that kid, they saw it, man.
Exactly.
But yeah, I did get a chance to play with them. And we was, you know, they were huge Panathinaikos fans, the team that James was playing for. So they always went to their games. I used to go to their games and watch. They was in the stands all the time. So I used to sit with them. I didn't really chill with them that much. But I seen them. They were around. They were studying. They was definitely studying. They was definitely getting prepared for what they're doing now, for sure.
Right. Nah, yeah, we was around the same. I think your second year was my first year back over there, and I think I just missed playing him because I came like almost halfway through the season.
Okay,
and he was on a bench. Had been on the bench during the All-Star game, and everybody was talking about him like Giannis. I'm like, who is this kid? You know what I mean? Yeah. Then fast forward a little bit later, they talking about you from Greece. I said, you told that little kid right there, and like you said, man, they know it before we even know it. You know what I mean? Yeah. They know when they growing up, man. So that was pretty crazy, man.
Yeah. I don't even think that they knew that he was going to be that good.
Right. They knew I don't think nobody knew.
Yeah, that was it was a complete, like, I wish people could see him then when everybody was talking about he was going to the league. I wish they could see that film so they could be like, wow, like, that dude came a long way. Like, it wasn't no LeBron type thing where you watch LeBron in high school and be like, okay, he going. Like,
exactly.
It wasn't like that.
It wasn't like that. And he had to put that work in for real. He
definitely put that work in, no question.
So after you said you've been retired now, what, 2 years now, right?
Yeah. I retired in 2019. Actually, retired like in the middle of the season. Yeah.
What's that transition like? I know for me, I think I retired like 2017. I retired like 2014 for a second. Then I went right back overseas. You know, I still had that itch. I didn't think I was done. Yeah. Then like 2017. You know, my body kind of, my knees weren't the same, and I just had that love no more. And I kind of just like, I am tired. I've been playing basketball my whole life, so I was like, I want a new challenge. So, and I was okay with retiring. I was like, I was really like, I was happy about it, you know.
Yeah.
So, what was your experience like when you said, man, I am done putting these shoes down, man? And I do miss traveling, though. I do miss the traveling.
Thanks.
I do miss the lifestyle overseas and the different cultures. I do miss that. But playing wise, I'm okay where I'm at. What was that transition like from you, from the professional life, basketball, sports, to now in the real world? You know, I know you got a family, you got kids. So what's that transition been like?
I mean, the transition, I prepared for it, to be honest, man. I had a 5-year plan. You know, especially when my daughter was born my first year in Israel. And when she was born, I was like, I got to put a plan together because I didn't want to it was a lot of issues out there. You know, Israel is one of those real tricky places. Mm-hmm. Always got political issues and stuff going on. We was really in the middle of a war while we was there. And I didn't know where I was going to be by the time my daughter got to the age where she needed to go to school. I just knew that I didn't want my daughter to be in a different country than me. And if I'm going to be playing overseas, I wanted it to be a situation where if she had to go to school, it would be an environment that would be more welcoming to her, and Israel wasn't going to be the spot. And at that point in my career, I didn't really want to play nowhere other than Israel, to be honest. That was like, I'm like, man, I like it here. I like the style of play here. I like the way they pay me. I like the way they treat me and my family. I'm staying here. You know what I'm saying? So I'm like, I can't do both. I'm either going to have to give up, you know, one for the other. But I put a plan together, and through my whole career, I would say my second year out, I started doing businesses outside of the court. So I was already doing other things. And I just told myself that I'm going to do whatever I have to do to get something going off the court. And then when I see some type of momentum going with that, it'll be a little easier for me to make that decision. So I just kept working at it. 5-year plan came up a little early. And then during the season when I was in Israel, it was one of those things where the team had agreed to do some things for me and the family that didn't add up to it or whatever. And it was just an opportunity for me to go ahead and go home, and I was able to do it. And it was a peaceful situation as far as me and the team, no bad blood, no nothing. Got my money and all that, like, travel was cool. Everything was great. So it was one of those things that it was a lot easier than what a lot of people might have thought. But once I got home, it got tough because, like you said, the transition is one of those things that you can't really predict. I just hear all the horror stories about it. So I was just trying to do everything I could to make sure that I don't end up in that category with a family and all that. So I just did, you know, me and my wife, we did what we had to do to you know, tap in, get on our entrepreneur grind and really build. And then we got to the point to where we started seeing some real success with our businesses. It gave us the ability to relocate, come back home. And now I'm comfortable with my retirement. I told myself I couldn't go into the gym. I didn't pick up a ball for like a whole year. You know, it was one of those things where I didn't want to tempt myself because it was easy for me to go back. I had people calling me, opportunities are there. It was easy for me to go back. So I wanted to make it harder. I wanted to remove myself and really take that parachute off and just go straight in and make something happen. So, and we, you know, we did that for sure.
I definitely know what you mean, man. Let me turn the retirement, then like guys be like, man, you want to go play, man? You want to go? For me, it was like, I ain't touching the ball. I ain't touching the ball because even if you just shooting around, for me, just shooting around, you like get that itch back. You're like, we can't go, either I'm going to go hard or I'm good. Yeah. So nah, it was time. I was like, man, I'm tired. I'm chill, man. Then it's like I started working out again. Then I'm like, man, I gotta be working out for something. It's gotta be for something. I want some type of challenge. So but I definitely know what you mean, man. And like you say, you got a lot of guys who get stuck in, they get caught up in, they don't want to retire, they don't know how to retire, and they always itching to go back. And it's like, I'm gonna go until the wheels fall off, you know, which you gonna do, you know. I talked to Nick Carnamelli, and he going into the 16th season, you know, man. And He told me he was retiring in 2000. This was like 4 years ago. He was like, yeah, man, I'm going to shut down my knees. But he told me that, you know, that was his way of tricking his brain, to basically like saying, I'm retired for this year. That way, you know, he just was tricking his brain. But, man, I said, man, if you still feel healthy and you can play at a high level and you're still making that type of money,
yeah,
I mean, why not? You know what I mean? Why not? Right. And, And I like that a lot of guys don't have that 5-year plan. A lot of guys don't have no plan. They retire and stuck. And they just, whatever money they got saved up or no money got saved up, or some guys probably got to still play just to make ends meet, you know? Yeah. So, so what are you doing? You have a few different businesses. What are you doing now business-wise?
Yeah. So when I first retired, we just started focusing on consulting. One of the things that I did when I was playing, I actually started an agency. For my last 3 years of playing, I started an agency so that I could do deals on my own and help other players. And it kind of turned into a consulting type situation. I was talking to a lot of players and helping them out, a lot of younger players and helping them out. And through that process, at the same time, business-wise, a lot of guys wanted to get my take on a few different things when it pertained to business outside of just basketball in general. So one of the things that I did when I came home is I started a partnership with another friend of mine who actually retired as well. And we basically started a consulting firm together, and we helped people, not just basketball players, but people in general, with business consulting, internet-based business consulting, web development, building websites, helping people get their social media up, people who have brick and mortar businesses, helping them integrate online presence with that. And that pretty much took off. And then from there, you know, we started growing into other things, but we just kept it consulting based. So right now I'm in tax preparation, financial planning. So I'm actually back in school. I'm at Howard University now, taking a financial planning course to be, you know, get the designation, CFP designation. And so that's what we're doing. I'm in finance and business consulting 100% right now. For sure.
Oh, man, I just want to congratulate you, bro, because like you said, man, a lot of guys don't have that mentality. They don't have no plan at all.
Yeah.
Man. And by having a guy that's been there, done that, going back to school for that, man, I just want to applaud you, man. And hopefully, man, you can help a lot of other guys out, even the younger guys. Hopefully you get back on campus, man, and still, you know, I try to go back on campus and speak to those guys and help out. You know, it'd be great to have some more guys come through and just, you know, just for the players, man, because like you said, you have a lot of guys that's coming up under us that don't have a clue of what to do financially wise or business wise or even in sports or who to talk to, who not to talk to. So I think, you know, I tell guys all the time, like we technically be obligated to do these things because it's like we're a fraternity. Basketball is a fraternity, I believe, and that we all should kind of like help each other. You know, like I know some older guys helped me, gave me advice, and I know how much, whether I listened or not, I heard it. So to have guys, you know, especially like in your position, especially financial-wise, and have that literacy, man, and the understanding that you go back and not have just help those guys in sports, but also in their financial careers. So I think that's great, man. We definitely got to connect, especially since you're back here in Maryland, because I'm in Maryland right now as well. So we definitely got to link up because I'm doing a few things business-wise too. And I just love that, you know, connect with other brothers, man, who's doing similar things or, you know, who's just entrepreneurs as well. So we definitely got to connect, man. I definitely appreciate you, man, taking time out your day, man, away from your family for a second, and join me on the Go Terps with Travis Garrison of 68 Field of 68 Networks. Got my guy Landon Milbourne, man. I appreciate you taking time out your day for me, bro. Like I said, man, I applaud you and everything that you're doing, your whole career, everything that you did, man. Keep going. And like I said, we definitely have to connect, bro.
Thank you, man. Thanks for having me. Appreciate it.